Father, we give you the praise and the honor. We give you the honor and the adoration. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Visit somebody's life tonight.
Amen.
Help us to lay a very great foundation tonight for the rest of the week. We worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. I welcome everyone here tonight in the name of Jesus. Like Dr. Mrs. Enenche said, we shall be doing official recognitions tomorrow, as we have had people here for 2 weeks, 1 week ahead of the conference. I want to speak very quickly on the subject, the tragedy of a prophet. The tragedy of a prophet. And I have two objectives. The one is understanding potential pitfalls of a minister. And number two, understanding some secrets of the oil. I said a prophet because I didn't say the prophet. This particular tragedy is not necessarily the general tragedy of all prophets. We are trying to look at a particular prophet, actually a son of the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 1. The Bible said, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And he came, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Here we see the story of a prophet. He had passed. The only thing we remember of him, we don't know his name. We don't even know of his prophetic impact. What he did. If you talk of Elisha, you will hear of the things Elisha did. If you talk of Elijah, you will hear of the things Elijah did. But this man was ended life and ministry without a memory, except the memory of a liability. The only thing he left behind was liability. If this man was going to be remembered, he was going to be remembered for the problem he left. There are people who are remembered for the problem they solved. There are people who are remembered for the mark they made. There are people who are remembered for the lives they changed. A typical prophet is meant to bring people out of captivity. This prophet left his children in captivity. A typical prophet is meant to open doors. This prophet closed the doors for his family. My brothers and my sisters, if we stop here, you can go and think over your life. What will you leave behind when you are gone? What will be the memory of you? Not even in your community yet, in your family. This prophet left his wife in tears. A typical prophet is to wipe tears. Is to wipe tears off the faces of people. Are you going to leave a mark or leave some scars? My father, please help me not to be the prophet, not to be the apostle, not to be the teacher, not to be the minister that ended his life as a generational liability, that left problem before he left, that left his community in tears. There are people, when they die, you pray how you wish they are still alive. This one, they thanked God that he had died. Otherwise, how many more people will become captives of creditors? Maybe he would have borrowed and the next collateral will be his wife. Maybe the next collateral will be his brother, his sister. Before you know it, by the time he's gone, they are arresting people everywhere. But because we have so much to talk about tonight, is your life currently a plus or a minus? Currently. Is my life currently an addition or a destruction? This is why we came here. When Elijah died, somebody cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Nobody can cry that for this man. Nobody can say, "Where is the Lord God of the?" Nobody. Apart from the fact that he had no name, even if he had a name, nobody is interested in identifying with whatever he represented. But I like to look at about 7 to 8 things I consider a tragedy of this prophet. Number one, the Bible says they are cried out, which was what he could have done. First, is the failure to cry out in time of need. The failure to cry out. The prophetic ministry at times can be an arrogant ministry. I know everything, I see everything. Very, very arrogant. Most times a pastorless and mentorless ministry. And that can apply to every other person. The failure to cry out. Whether by pride or by bankruptcy of mentality. There are people who would be alive today if they cried out. There are ministries that would have been saved and would have been on now if they had cried out. But they were too big to cry out, too self-sufficient to cry out, too independent to cry out. It was crying out that saved the wife. If the wife could have been saved because she cried out, Elisha could have been saved. Sorry. That son of the prophet could have been saved if he cried out. I am sinking, sir. I need help. I am sinking, sir. I need help. If my life continues like this, I'll end in prison. Please save me. If my life continue like this, there will be no church. Please save me. Some people prefer to wallow in shame than to swallow their pride. They prefer to wallow in shame than to swallow their pride. Wallow in debt. I am talking to you practical. I have come across people with calamity to the point where they passed to the other side. Where we had said, how we wish we knew of this particular challenge. Why carry a burden that can be handled? Why bearing pain that can be cured? Simple. Cry out. Patient is in pain under the nose of the doctor and is behaving brave. Terrible intra-abdominal injury. Internal bleeding is done. Pain is intense. No analgesic. Yes, it just... How would the doctor look at me? A man like me. A man like me. If you are 70 years old and the doctor is 27 years old and he has your treatment... What sort of pride is that? One man cried from South Africa. He said, sir, I am sinking. I dreamt a dream in the night. Saw a strange woman in the dream. Then he woke up in the physical and saw the same strange woman. Outcome of it was the end, was the scattering of his marriage, scattering of his ministry. He didn't know who to talk to. People will laugh at him. They say, okay, let me call somebody. He said, he will call me. Whatever I do to him, whatever I laugh, whatever I do, let it be. He called. I said, be on your way, come in. Run. When he came, he was embraced. Patted on the back. Prayed for. Given airfare to return back. I like you. I like us to put the devil to shame. Many have gone. like the son, that son of the prophet. Many went before their time. And the devil is such a strategist. He will be whispering into your ears. They will laugh at you. They will mock at you. They will think you don't have enough faith. They will think, what Bible are they studying that you are not studying? Don't you have access to the same God? I will tell you all manner of things until you end and leave liability behind. That will never be your portion. It's a very, very simple thing. They are cried out. In this conference, even if you can't cry to man, cry to God. Let there be a God, you didn't call me to kill me. You say, come and I will make you, not come and I will mock you. I was called to be made. I was not called to be mocked. We'll talk more intensely in this regard. But it is time to put that devil to shame. It is time to put that devil. And this is appropriate because they call the man a son of the prophet. And this gathering, many, many sons of the prophet are around. Apart from ministers from other ministers. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But he cried. A young man among us here called me not too long ago. He said, sir, my life is going, my breath is going. What happened? He saw a devil who appeared bodily to him and said, they are devils. And that they want to let him know that God is not going to win. All manner of blasphemous talks. They are going to deal with every pastor. They are going to do this, they are going to do that. They was talking. And he was under intense attack. Took them 4 nights. Saying, in the name of Jesus, tell that devil that they failed sins. That they are still failing now. That by the authority of the one that defeated them before, you are defeating them again. He was rescued instantly. The fear was palpable. Where the devil said, I say, since you were born, have you ever seen where darkness was so thick that light went out? The darkness was so strong, light went off on its own. No. That day will never come. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. God is light, Satan is darkness. And the light will always dissipate darkness. And not the other way. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Failure to cry out. Number two is linked up to number one. And that is failure to open up to spiritual authority. Failure to open up to spiritual authority. You know why? I saw where the woman said to Elisha, thou knowest thy servant. That is, this man was someone known to Elisha. Thy servant, my husband, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. You know him. The issue is that you didn't know everything about him. You know that he feared the Lord, but the things that will help you to save him, you didn't know. With you, Lord, I can be naked and not ashamed. With you, Lord, I can be open and have no fears. For I found in you a friend that I can. That is why you remain my great physician. In the our parents saw our nakedness. Did they use it against us? When you grew up, you say, you that pull on my leg, you will ever. As you grew, their respect for you grew. Their respect for you grew. Their regard for you grew. You become a focus of their boasting. and bragging to their friends, my son, my child is like that. They never remembered when you were naked, when you pulled on them, when you weed on them. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If there is a genuine father, a genuine parent, you will be able to make them not just know that you fear the Lord or that you are serving the Lord. You will make them know the things that will help them to help you. You may make them come to the point where you don't know this about me. Don't tell me that you have hypertension. Tell me it's a generational curse. Tell me it killed your father. Tell me it killed your mother. Tell me it affected other in your lineage. Then the prayer can be target specific. The things God expects you to tell me, don't leave me to find it out prophetically. God may not say anything because he expects you to say it. But we hear them say, God gave us brains so we can give him rest. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Don't like this life that we live has no spare. That prophet was gone and gone forever. He could have been, he said, thou knowest thy servant. You know him. Except that you didn't know that he has handed these children as collateral. If you had known Elisha, I'm sure you would have paid the money from your pocket. If you had known. You didn't know he has gone to take loan. You didn't know that the church is for sale. You didn't know that the bank is about to repossess the church building. He didn't tell you that one. And the hypertension of it killed him. You didn't know people are threatening him to publish his name for one thing or the other. You didn't know. And he's harboring ulcer. He's harboring arthritis. You didn't know he's dealing with a diagnosis. He came to tell you about it. He changed his mind and said other things. You will not be cut short. You will not be cut short. Anybody you can trust to father you, trust them with your secrets. If you can't trust them to father you, trust God for a father. Thou knowest thy servant, but there are things about thy servant that want to kill him, you are not aware. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You will not be cautious before your time. As it is spiritually, so it is physically. Children, talk to your father. Earthly father. Physical parent. I am battling with this issue. I'm struggling with this. I have this kind of challenge. I have this kind of thought. The third thing that I see, which is, I think, at the root of everything, is failure of full followership. Or submission to spiritual authority. There is a failure. This man was not fully under spiritual submission. He was not fully under spiritual authority. He was a son of the prophet by name. We have so many people who are bearing this, my so-and-so person is my spiritual father. And so person is my spiritual father. But how do you know that they are not their spiritual father? Because the practices are different. The practices are different. The practices are different. When somebody is your father, you have his genetics. And when you have his genetics, you behave naturally. His behavior comes out of you effortlessly. Without thinking. This man was not fully following. Number one, nobody came to arrest Elijah for borrowing. Nobody came for Elisha for begging and borrowing. Where did he learn it from? Who taught him to borrow? Who taught him to hand over his children as collaterals? We are carrying out mega projects in this place for close to 30 years. We have not taken one naira as overdraft from anywhere. And I'll come to that shortly. You are building a 5,000 seat auditorium. You already went for bank loan. Where did you hear it from? How did you learn it? There are Americans here and Westerners here, and I know that credit existence is a normal rembel. And I will address that later. It's a normal rembel, but you can do everything debt free. You can come to the point where you do all of it debt free. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? You don't call anyone your father if you don't take their steps. The followership equals the taking of steps. You are taking the steps after the one you are following. Otherwise, you are just decor. You are just looking for identity. You are just looking for name identification. You are just looking for endorsement. There are a lot of people who struggle. I want to snap with you. Let's snap. Let's take a snapshot so I can place it somewhere. So you know him. Okay, then it means you are this and that. Somebody struggle and say, I want to bring somebody to come and see you. They came from a country. They want to see you. Okay, you can come. Come. Finish. It's okay. I want. Can you take a snapshot with the person? I told the person, I said, what are you talking about? I am seeing this person for the first time. I don't know him. All right? So tomorrow they find out that the person is a fraud, a drug baron or whatever. And then they say, we saw your picture with him. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you won't follow well, don't follow at all. You can be taught without being fathered. It's okay to be taught. Your classroom teacher is not your father. It's all right to be taught. It's all right to be taught. I have many teachers, but one father. It's all right to be taught. It's all right to receive instruction. But if it comes to spiritual fathering, you must ensure that you follow well. Follow well or not at all. I was in Madagascar and I was talking about the Glory Dome. And they were all very excited. We showed them pictures. And I told them, a bigger one is, because one very, very massive, bigger one is coming. Called the Faith, the Ark Project. Plenty of the winners, pastor, winners members who came in for the crusade, they started screaming and clapping. That is, this is a son of our father who is acknowledging his father publicly. I'm talking about a reason. Even though he just mentioned something from them, he's mentioning that something bigger is coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are those who want to relate privately. This was a major problem of this prophet. And I believe that somebody will avoid it tonight. And all the things we have seen so far are things that will save us from the tragedy of living. And when you have left, what is left was a liability. Now, let me go to point number 4. It was the failure to obey divine instruction. Do you know that it is possible to be a minister and you fail to obey the instruction of the one who called you? Deuteronomy chapter 15 and in verse 6. For the Lord thy God blessed thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, son of the prophet, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. This book is the man's textbook. This is what he is teaching. But it was not for him to practice. I heard a very funny story recently about somebody who got so touched as to how massively God has blessed people like God, our father in the Lord, Bishop David Oyedepo, ourselves, going to crusades all over the world, flying anyhow you want in terms of not restricted, not taking offering in the crusades, ministering welfare and Medicare and all of that. And he comes to church and puts the church people under pressure. Give, 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 give. That is, let's be like other people and put them under pressure. And I said to the person telling me the story, I said, that was not how God blessed Bishop Oyedepo. That is not how he blessed us and is blessing us. It's not by such pressure. The joylessness demand on the people dry up the resources further. I heard people say before, what is Bishop Oyedepo preaching that we are not preaching? We must see the same way we are preaching. I said, and then and Papa and I were talking and we're laughing. The result we see is not about what we preach, but what we practice. Practitioners of the word are superior to preachers of the word. If there is a layman who is not a preacher at all, who will practice the word, he will see results that the preacher won't see. I believe that it is time to graduate from looking for what to preach to looking for what to practice. The essence of revelation is application. If you got a revelation, a light, and you don't have its application, that was just information. I was looking at the scripture the other day. I said to myself, where was I all this while with this kind of thing inside scripture? And I didn't see it. I said, Lord, please help me. Because we must see these things before we leave this world. Open my eyes to see. Because it is there. I didn't see it. And I was not seeing it. And I was not lamenting that I'm seeing it now. Not because of what to preach. But I asked, what to practice? I saw. I can't go into that now, so I don't step into another message. Lift up your hands and say, Father, help me to be a practitioner. A practitioner, not just a preacher. I have seen people deep in insight, but bankrupt of impact. I've seen. Starting from their lives. No, Lord. I don't need that. This was a man. The book that was his textbook. Thou shalt not borrow. It didn't mean anything to him. He went ahead and borrowed. Alright, let's go ahead because the time is rushing. Failure to obey. Number 6 is like unto number 5 is the failure to walk in the covenant. The covenant of supernatural supply. The failure to walk in the covenant of supernatural supply. The covenant of supernatural supply is the law of giving and receiving, among other things. But inside that covenant is what we just read. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in verse 12, it's part of the covenant. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hands, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. This is part of the covenant of the supernatural supplies. In Psalm 37, verse 25 to 26, Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So, summary is, the covenant or supernatural supply, among other things, involves giving and lending where necessary, not begging and borrowing. Begging and borrowing, they are anti-covenant. Completely begging, whether begging in the name of God or in your own name. This man wasn't a covenant practitioner. This is the kind of pastor that will tell everybody, give, 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 and his own hand is closed. Tight, 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 and he doesn't understand anything about tithing. Eh? His own fist is tight. He's asking everybody to tithe. He's asking everyone to give. He's not a giver. Sell your house, sell your car, give to God. He hasn't sold his own. Empty your account. He hasn't emptied his own. And he thought God wasn't hearing and God wasn't watching. That's empty your account so I can fill my own. Oh, and I'm telling you why so many people are just, they are stranded. I said some time ago that the pastor should be the chief giver in church. He should be ahead in giving. In those days, when we called out for givings, how many will give 5,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 or 1 million? You know what I did? The highest level is where I will be. Any level I cannot give, I won't call it. I won't call it. I can't call it. That is, I say, how many here can bring 10 million? And I can't give 10 million. I won't call 10 million. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Why, who am I expecting to give more than myself? Then let the person become the pastor. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This man, let me tell you, the man was not a sinner. Thy servant feared the Lord.
Holy man.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. He wasn't a drunkard, though. He wasn't a smoker. He wasn't a womanizer. He was holy by standards of holiness. He could bind the devil, cast it possible. But the principle that works for finances is different. I can fast for many, many days and step into very strong unction and move in power. But that fasting is ineffective in financial supplies. God is a God of principles. The principle that fly the aircraft is different from the principle that drive the automobile. The principle for football is different from the principle of handball. Even American football is still different. They play it with hand. But if you play soccer, which is our own football, with hand, it is foul. It's red card. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to anybody at all? Now, number 6 point for me is the one that touched me the most. Okay, one of the ones. It is the evidence of life mismanagement. This was a prophet that practically mismanaged his life. Number one, he failed to cry out. Number two, he failed to open up to spiritual authority. Number three, he was not fully following. Number four, he failed to obey divine instruction. Number five, he wasn't walking the covenant of supernatural supply. Number six, he mismanaged his life. Indebtedness, the borrower's lifestyle, is the lifestyle of life mismanagement. It is the lack of financial wisdom. Mismanagement. In financial wisdom, what you have is meant to take you to where you need to go. I've told you the story many times of a Christian billionaire. When somebody is a billionaire and is worth $1 billion, he's a billionaire. And took a loan from the bank. That loan did not only clear his billions, he's still paying. He said, tell the brethren they shouldn't borrow, that they should grow gradually. Grow gradually. Grow gradually. They should grow gradually with the resources they have. Well, there are times when somebody took a loan from the bank and the bank holds your collateral that is equal to that loan. Technically, you are not owing each other. But if that can be avoided, it too should be avoided, if it can. Failure. Evidence of life mismanagement. I won't waste time, so much time there, but I will go forward to number 7. And every pastor needs to wake up here. Evidence of lack of value or plan for family. Lack of value or lack of plan for family. I don't know the kind of agreement that will make a man make his children available as slaves if he wouldn't pay alone. Value for family. Left wife stranded. Left children enslaved. That depicts a man who practically lived and died for himself. What I'm telling you. Okay, can I ask you a question? The money he borrowed, what did he do with it? How did it reflect on his wife? What was the profit of it to his children? How did he spend it? Did he borrow to invest? It would have multiplied and enhanced the value of his children. There is matter here. Serious one. What did he, pastor, what are you doing with money that your wife is stranded and your children are begging for money? Borrowing things from members. Pastor's wife borrowing things from people. Begging things. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? What did he, if it was not a man who had no value or plan for his family, you took money that was big enough. If it was not big money, maybe they would have carried only one son. They were making demand for two boys. What did he do with the money? This is my conversation with a pastor's wife. Pastor, influential, big, ministers, Australia, America, Canada, America, everywhere he goes. He says, excuse me, sir. That man only knows himself. He said, when somebody returns from a trip, the way you go and receive bags, all you will see is new suits, new shoe, new tie, new everything. You won't see one dime for any child. Not to say, madam, I bought this for you. He said, for as long as I know him, it is all about him. Bad outcome. Your wife is seeing you all the time. You look sharp. You like to dress sharp. You like to wear nice shoe, nice tie, nice everything. Are you borrowing to dress like that? So that when you die, they come for your wife and children? Truth is, there are people who have transaction with banks and loan companies and their wives are not aware. When was the last time your children, your wife felt a reflection of God's love through you? That is issue. Can we at least have a happy wife of a happy minister? Happy children of a happy minister? Could it be why some children are rebelling? Because they can't feel God's love through their father. They can't feel God's love through their apostle father. The man that is loving and nice to everybody is a terror at home. Smiling for everybody. Why is it that you smile for every church member apart from your wife? Apart from your children? Daddy, daddy. Oh, how are you? My daughter in the Lord. My son in the Lord. How are you? And now your wife is coming. Countenance change. You have seen your sworn enemy. We are going to pray tonight. Let there be more value in the home. A changed home is a changed church. A changed church is a changed nation. Changed nations are changed generations. Let your wife, let your children, let your family, even extended family. This my siblings here, they will show you, tell you about the extension. I baby them like babies. They are my seniors. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And then, those who know you from babyhood are following you. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us begin to change the orientation. What kind of fear of the Lord will you fear that will leave your wife and children in problem? The thing is a mystery. It's a contradiction in many ways. You know. Now, let me land on number 8 and then we'll take, at number 8, we'll enter a junction and progress. There was a evidence of lack of value, lack of plan for the family. And this was one of the things that made this man to end with a bad memory on the earth. Number 8. Lack of inquiry and discernment regarding the solution. to his situation. Lack of inquiry and discernment regarding the solution to his situation. This man was prophetic enough to be regarded as a son of the prophet. That is like Jesus was one of the apostles. When he was alive, there was oil in his room. That same oil that will answer the problem. But he didn't see it. How can you die when the answer to why you may have died is in your house? Why is it that you can be a prophet and you see it for others, you can't see for yourself? Is it that he didn't ask God? He wasn't sensitive or discerning enough? But the worst that can happen to any of us is to show people the way and miss the way. The mantle we use to handle the battles of others should handle our battles. The anointing we have to dissolve the yokes of people should dissolve our yokes. What do you have in your house? I have nothing but a pot of oil. The pot of oil was always there. It's the same way that God asked Moses, what is that in your hand? That rod did not just appear in Moses' hand. It was always there. The same way that God asked Moses, there is a tree standing by the waters of Marah. That tree didn't just appear. It was always there. Many times, it is possible that the reason why we are struggling in ministry is that there is something there we haven't seen. He said, who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf but my messenger that I've called? Lord, I refuse to be blind. I refuse to be deaf. The answer that is there, I must see it. The solution that is there, I must see it. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 19. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? I refuse to be blind. If the only thing you are going to pray in this conference is, Father, open my blind eyes. I have been blind for too long. Open my deaf ears. I have been deaf for too long. Not just to see people's answers. I want to see my own. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. There are many of us, we are looking for power to solve issues for people. But it's time to say, Lord, you know what? I am looking, open my eyes to see the things I need to see in my life. I need to see in my family. I need to see in the church. Open my ears to hear the things I need to hear. Is there somebody who is going to pray that prayer? Open my ears. Don't you think that if that pastor knew that the journey he was going to take, he will not return back? Don't you think you would have stopped the journey? Don't you think if the pastor knew that the person he recruited was a Judas sent from the pit of hell, or was a demonic Jezebel or something, don't you think he would have suspended that kind of appointment? But he didn't know. He didn't know. Don't you think that the embarrassment of this woman and the children would have been avoided if the man knew there was oil in the room and he knew that that oil had the answer? Wouldn't he have done what Elijah asked his wife to do? Is God a respecter of persons? If he didn't get it by prophetic instruction from not crying out, couldn't he trust God to get it directly if possible? I announce today, everyone here tonight, Everyone here tonight that has an ear that is not hearing, an eye that is not seeing, I declare it open in the name of Jesus. I declare it open in the name of Jesus. You will not miss it another time. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat and let us round off as we begin to pray. This is the answer. Let me just quickly look at a few secrets of the oil. That same oil that saved this man, that saved his children. The secrets of some secrets of the oil. The first secret is to know that there is something God has put in your life. What is that? What do you have in your house? There is something God has put in your life. It's not necessarily something new. It was there. What you need to trust God for is to trust God to multiply what He put in your life. The oil, the only thing that was done to that oil was for it to multiply. Grace is in levels. Unction is in degrees. There is a level of teaching grace you have now. It will produce higher results if it is multiplied. There is a level of the pastoral grace you carry right now. There is a level of the evangelistic grace on your life right now. All we need is multiplied. Mean we have the level where we go on the street to evangelize. There is a level where Bunky was before he passed. There is a level of Billy Graham. The level of the evangelistic mantle. All we need is the multiplication of it. There is a level of the prophetic mantle. You have some level, but it can be multiplied. There are diverse streams of the prophetic. There is a seer stream. There is a hearer stream. There is a speaker stream. There is a knowing the perception stream. There is this stream that was talked about in Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. Where God uses parables and similitudes and several things. You may be strong in one stream and then it can explode to other streams. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The apostolic is a level. And God can. All He needs is to multiply that level. Maybe you are a Christian businessman and there is a financial mantle on you. It can still be multiplied. But the critical thing is, do you identify what is in your house? Mountains don't grow, but grace grows. Mountains don't grow, but mantles multiply. That was why Elisha said, a double measure. The mantle you carry, I need double of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And all you need, the same problem with higher mantle, it will appear as if the problem never existed. The same city with higher grace, the same nation with higher oil, it will appear as if the devils went on holiday. Hey! Somebody is about to live here with higher graces, higher mantles. Listen, I don't want you to envy anybody's grace. Just identify what you carry and let it multiply. Do you understand, sir, that no blind eye saw in Solomon's ministry? No deaf ear heard. He was talking. And not just people, kings of nations came to hear the talk. That an unusually anointed teaching ministry can gather cities, kings of nations. Not just speak, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which heard of his wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and in verse 23 and 24, he said the wisdom which God put in his heart, verse 24, And all the earth thought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. He was literally reading and explaining the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Songs of Solomon. Without any prayer line. Without this is your name and this is your house address. I saw it long ago. And if you have the apostolic, Billy Graham didn't drop his own to follow Oral Roberts' own. Oral Roberts didn't drop his own to follow Billy Graham. Just as I am without one plea. While they are singing, people will be coming for altar call. Oral Roberts never said, let me try that. Oral Roberts must cast out the cancers. He must deal with the blind devils. He must deal with the deaf devils. He must deal with the cripples. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? What is that in your house? What I want everyone to understand from here today is that there is no empty human being. There is no vacant person. Everybody carries something. My time is up. But we must conclude on this one. We are not going to do part two on this one. Multiply the grace on my life. It's a multiplication of the teaching, the prophetic, the apostolic, the evangelistic. Number two, and this is very critical. Know that there is something God has put in your life. Secondly, decide to enlarge your capacity to receive. Decide to enlarge your capacity to receive. When he said, borrow vessels. He didn't say borrow oil. Oil is not borrowable. What to borrow is what to hold the oil. One vessel will hold the oil of one person. Two vessels will hold more oil. The reason why our oil differs is because the vessel we brought differed. You can't bring one vessel and I brought 100 and we have the same oil. If it is possible, borrow hunger. Capacity. Borrow capacity. If it is possible, if it is borrowable, borrow capacity, borrow hunger, borrow desire, borrow desperation. You know the meaning of it? That is, you are one person, but determined to express the hunger of 100 people. That's our difference. How desperate and how hungry and the size of our capacity differs. That is why we are not carrying the same oil. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you know what happened when David met Goliath? David expressed towards Goliath the anger of a nation. Himself alone was the sum total of the anger of everybody. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the army of the living God? That should defy the army of this living God? If all these people are not angry, I am angry on their behalf. I am angry on their behalf. I present to you, Lord, the anger, everybody's anger. And God said, I give to you everybody's oil. I think you remember. When they said, thou art worth more than 10,000 of us. That was what they were expressing. God brought you to a point where he made you now. You became bigger than an individual. Since you didn't fight as a person, armies fight armies. David became a one-man army. Is that not, was it 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1, verse 3, when they told David, and thou art what, and Saul was very, and he said, not this one, thou art what 10,000, but yes, that's right, but the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now, you are worth more than 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that you shall go out of the city. David, you are not a person. You are a people. You are a people. You carry the burden of everybody. So God gave you the mantle of everybody. He gave you the grace everybody should have carried. The same happened to Elijah. When Baal, the prophets of Baal overran Israel, nobody stood to challenge Ahab until Elijah arose with the anger of Jehovah and represented everybody. And then God said to Elijah, there are 7,000 people that have not bowed to the bear, but none of them coughed. None said anything. Since you have spoken, I give you the fire of everybody. That is why we see some people in our generation today, and people are asking, is God partial? Why is it that the same person is doing this and doing that and doing that? And doing everything almost at a very, very high level. Go and ask God about his capacity. What vessel did he bring? Before you envy people, find out what they've brought before God. Find out the size of their hunger. Find out the size of their passion. Find out the size of their desperation. Find out the size of their desire. What I am trusting God for tonight is for God to help somebody with an enlargement of capacity, enlargement of desire, enlargement of desperation, enlargement of hunger. I can't continue like this. Father, help me. With the enlargement, I am tempted to stop here. I'm tempted to stop here. But let me say three more things. You need the oil. Realize that there is something you have and trust God to multiply it. Second, enlarge your capacity. Third, come empty. He will fill my cup today to overflowing, as the Lord commanded me. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill my heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Come empty. Come empty. What did he say they should borrow? Full vessels. Empty vessels. Empty vessels. Empty of self. Empty of pride. In fact, empty of content. I have noticed all the time that God uses empty. When he wanted to multiply, to produce wine in Cana of Galilee, he talked about empty pots in John chapter 2 verse 5. When he wanted to supply, verse 6, when he wanted to supply water for the army of Israel, They were set there since water pots of stone. He said, fill the pots to the brim. He said, dig ditches in the valley. Dig ditches. Empty. You know when God wanted to release Saul? Because Saul messed up. He said, when you were empty, I anointed you. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 7. When you were empty, I anointed you. When you were nothing. Was that verse 17? I anointed you. When you were nothing. When you were nothing. That's right. When thou was little in your own sight, I made you the head of the tribe of Israel. And the Lord anointed thee. When you were nothing. Everyone who comes to God full will go out without anything. When you were nothing. That was also the issue with Moses. How many of you remember how, like we say in Africa, Moses went with gra, 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 gra. Audacious. He killed person. He knew 40 years ago that God wanted to use him to deliver Israel. And he went in the energy of his strength. He was ready for the assignment at once. When he failed and they sacked him, and he was in the wilderness for 40 years. When God wanted to send him back, he said, I have no experience. I can't. Say, don't send me. I don't know how to do anything. I can't talk. If it was possible, you would have told God, go yourself. I thought I had ability. I thought I had capacity. I now try the ability. I tried the capacity. It didn't work. Now I want to confess that I don't know how to do anything. Is there somebody here tonight who will agree with God? Anything I think I know to do, I surrender it. Anything I think I know how to do, I surrender it. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to teach. I don't know how to pray for the sick. I don't know how to prophesy. I don't know anything. I drop it. I drop everything. Beloved, if you will come to that point of desperation, I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to pastor a church. I don't even know how to treat people. Lord, I need you to help me. We can come to that point. That was the same point that Solomon was. Lord, I am a little child. You said I should be the king of these people. I don't know anything. First Kings chapter 3 verse 7. I am a little child. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Our challenge is that we know too much. Now, Lord God, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David. And I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know anything. And God said, since you don't know anything, let me turn you into something. I heard Catherine Kuhlman. She said, she was born with nothing. She was born with nothing, including no hair on her head. She was born without hair. Like a little red thorn in the middle. Nothing. No ability, no talent, nothing. And then when she made the mistake of her life and married someone who was married, and everybody was against her, husband snatcher, they were calling her, all doors closed, no ministry opportunity. Nobody wanted to invite her. He was walking on the street and came to a dead end, the dead end of a street, and there was no road anymore. He said, Lord, I'm at the end of the road, and I am at the end of myself. Have you ever used nothing before? Here is nothing. Can you take this nothing and use this nothing to your glory? Here is nothing. And when God picked that nothing, that girl, she shook the world. Robert Leardon was here some time ago, and he said he was in one of the meetings, and this was the woman where you can she can stand on the altar and you feel the anointing to the very end, right at the back, wherever you are, the same concentration in the front. Pittsburgh Airport ahead had to create a different passage for her, because where she passed, people would drop left and right, because God picked nothing. I use nothing. I know we heard many things tonight. But if the major thing we are going to do tonight is, Lord, people think I am fool. People think I am something. But I want to empty all of it tonight. I want to drop everything tonight. I want to confirm to you that I am nothing. I want to confirm to you that I have started nothing yet. Stand up on your feet. And it's not enough. When you come empty, he said, shut the door. That's the fourth thing. Decide to shut the door. Shut out distraction. Dr. Miss Enenche told you earlier, we didn't come here for a festival. We didn't come for what they call a jamboree. Shut out. She shut the door upon you and your children. This is not necessarily the place to make ministry contact. Oh, you are from this country, I'm from that country. Invite me, I invite you to our country so we can do return match. Shut the door. Shut out. God does great things in moments of aloneness. And Jacob was left alone. Levels change and shift. When people, you can be in the crowd and decide to still be alone. Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. When he went to a point, he asked his servants to wait for him. Because there is a level you can't go with everybody. You have to go with you and God. Jesus went to a point. Then his three disciples, he asked them to wait at a point. He went to the 12. Then at a point, he took three more. Then at a point, he himself went a little farther. That was where the angels strengthened him. Many of us are too crowded to receive strength from heaven. We are just too surrounded with people. We can't receive the things that God wants to supply because we are addicted to crowd, addicted to people. Will you agree in this conference to shut the door of distraction? There are times when your phone will be off. In the night, you shut your door, shut your mind. Ministry issue at home, just face yourself. I tell our people, I said, when we mean serious business, don't distract me with this call or this call. Whatever the problem is, it can wait till after service. Because one information can scatter your train of mind and instantly dampen the oil. God sent an angel. Supposing the angel that came to wrestle with Jacob came and met Jacob in the crowd, he would have returned back to heaven and said the man was not alone. And Jacob was left alone. Supposing the Holy Ghost came to the upper room and nobody was there, say, where have they gone? They have gone to the supper room. Supper room. He said the assignment was meant to be in the upper room. You won't miss your season. We will not miss our season. There are times when you are writing and somebody say, what did they say? There are times to ignore the person until you finish concentrating. Then later on you can say, please, what were you saying? Because at times just one flicker of a second can take you off what was about to drop. Many times I was receiving something and somebody said, ask me a question, and I lost it. I have lost about 3 or 4 songs, deep melodies, and those can be with those kind of interruptions. Am I communicating? Determined to be alone. And the final thing I will say, and we shall pray, refuse to be fooled. Yes. Whenever You come before God empty till you die. Refuse to be full. Because you say, set aside that which is full. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 4. Set aside that which is full. Where the vessel stopped, the oil stopped flowing. And he said, set aside that which is full. Whenever you come to the point in your life and ministry, and you confirm to yourself and to the world that you are full, that you are satisfied, please be informed that you have been set aside. You may still have invitations. You may still be pastoring. They may still be clapping for you. And heaven is wondering, this is the man we have retired. He's still on billboards. He's still on handbills. They are still calling him father, father, daddy, daddy. Man is so full. So full. He can't tell the last time he fasted. Fasted for what? Fasted for what? He cannot tell the last time he prayed extensively for hours. Pray for what? Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are people, the oil has stopped flowing and they have been set aside. But they are still pastoring. They are still. Somebody may beg God, in case you set me aside and I wasn't aware. Because the spirit left Samson and he was not aware. So it is possible for a man to be sacked and he's not aware. It's possible for the oil to have stopped. Samson did the same things. He moved like other times. He never knew that the spirit has departed. So many pastors in our generation, small, small boys who don't know where they started, who already suddenly arrived. Authorities to themselves. So many who have been in the field for long, who have refused to learn anything new because they are satisfied. Before you know, they say, in those days when we came to the Lord, satisfied, God set them aside. He says, set aside that which is full. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind. Till the day I see my Savior, this hunger shall not die. I haven't seen the things I want to see. Jesus healed them all. I am waiting for the day where 100% of cancers, in a particular, all, one, not one, went home. We have been to crusades where people stood up from wheelchair, lifted up the crutches, and deaf ears, eyes open, deaf ears open, blinded eyes open, and we shared the grace and went. And they were still pushing some people with on wheelchair back home. And they are still leading some people by the hand to go back home because they are still going back home blind. There was in the ministry of our master days where that wasn't possible. If everybody came afflicted, they left. What have we seen that we are relaxed? What have we experienced? Because people are clapping for us? Is the verdict of man the same as the judgment of God? When Jesus wept, he wasn't weeping because Lazarus will not be raised. He was going to raise Lazarus. But what about all the people he will never meet? The agony of all bereavements. Agony of all premature deaths. This one, I am not crying because I'm helpless. I'll wake him up. But there are many I may not be able to reach. to wake up like this. I don't know what you are going to pray about, but maybe you are going to start, Lord. I refuse to be fooled. Because the journey is far. The journey is far. The journey is very, very far. Father, don't mind what name they are calling me. I am nothing. I haven't started. I haven't seen anything. I am sorry if I behave like I have started. I'm sorry if I behave like I have arrived. Any position you want, you can take. Lift up your voice and begin to speak to God for the next 5 minutes. Father, thank Him first for the word. 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 Mashadagalarahatasati. I refuse to be fooled. Speak to God at this moment. I refuse to be fooled. I refuse to be fooled. Mashata lara kesete frita sarana. I refuse to be fooled. I refuse to be fooled. I refuse to be fooled. You can also speak to God. I receive this. I refuse distraction. I refuse distraction. I shall shut the door. I shall shut the door. I am shutting the door. I am shutting the door. I refuse distraction. Father, help me with focus in this conference. Help me. Help me with focus. Help me with focus. Help me with focus. Help me, Lord. Mashata la de barada barada.
Unity, I want no more. Feel my God, feel it all, and make me whole. Feel my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord.
I come empty before you. I empty myself. Speak to God. I empty myself. Anything that I am, anything I can claim to be, whatever people think I am, I empty it before you. I empty it before you. I empty it before you. I empty myself. I empty myself. I empty myself. I empty myself. I empty myself.
Of my soul, bread of heaven, fill me too. I want no more. Feel like, feel it all. And make me.
You are going to speak to God right now. I empty myself of everything that anybody think I am. I empty myself. I empty myself. I empty. I come with bigger hunger. I come with bigger hunger. I come with bigger desperation. I come with bigger desire. In the name of Jesus, I come with bigger desire. And Lord, I ask that you will show me
bread of heaven. Fill me too, till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup. And make me whole.
Bread of heaven, fill me till I want.
Oh, fill my cup, fill it up. Speak to God.
In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands where you are. This altar is free right now for anyone who wants to settle some things with God. Lord, the way I behaved, could it be that I have been set aside? Could it be? Because one thing I know is that the oil has stopped flowing. Did I behave too fool? Did I behave too arrogant? Is there anything in me? I need help. I need mercy. Lord, I come before you. I refuse to be fooled. If you are talking to God like that, or in the other area, based on all that you have heard tonight, you want to settle with God. The altar is free. You come right here and be on your knees. Lift up your hands while we pray. There is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where the cause will be. I am the way. You don't need to place hand on the altar directly, just in front here, it's alright.
Lord, there is a place my heart cries out for, Lord. There is a place I am yearning for. It is a place where they come to be. Oh, it is a place
of your dwelling, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Take me by the hand,
take me by the hand
to your holy place. Let me see your face.
Let me see your face. And your glory, Lord. Let me know you more. Let me know you more.
For I am told. To your secret place, Lord. Take me by the hand. Take me by the hand. To your holy place. To your holy place. Let me see your face. Let me see your face. And your glory, Lord. Lord, take Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord, to your secret with Lord. Take me by the hand. Take me by the hand to your holy place. Let me see your face. Let me see your face. Let me know your mind. Let me know your mind. That I am through. Take me, Lord. Take me, Lord. To your secret place. Take me by the hand. Take me by the hand. To your holy place. To your holy place. Let me see your face. Mashada galaya. Let me know. Let me know.